What makes a great designer? Karina Barber works at Microsoft, and she has written some amazing control skins. Today, she joins us to talk about how to be a designer, what has helped her in her design career, and what inspires her as a designer. Coming up in the Sparkling Client Podcast.
Hello, I'm Eric Mork.
And I'm Monica Mork. Welcome to the Sparkling Client Podcast. Sparkling Client is a podcast about Silverlight and other web client technologies. Here's how it works. You give us 15 minutes of your time, and we give you the tools to build amazing web clients. This week, we present an interview with Karina Barber. Now, Eric, we've had Karina on before. Can you remind our listeners, who is she?
Well, she's one of the premier designers in the Silverlight 2 space. So if you're interested in Silverlight design, you're probably interested in what she has to say. Her blog is at UX Musings. So go to shrinkster.com/ZOL. She has some great free control skins up there. She's a Microsoft employee, and she just really knows how to make things look great.
Okay, well, let's listen to the interview now.
Karina, welcome to the Sparkling Client Podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me. I'm excited.
So here's the deal. I really wanted to have you on the podcast because there are some interesting visual things that have been done in Silverlight. But in terms of Silverlight 2, my impression is there aren't a whole lot of sort of really nice looking Silverlight 2 applications. And maybe that's because, you know, we have so many coders working on it or whatever the issue is. But so these control skins that you wrote, and they're at your blog, and the Shrinkster for that address is shrinkster.com/ZOL. They look really nice. I'm wondering, you're a Microsoft employee. What do you do exactly there?
I am a Microsoft employee, and I've been here for a long time. I'm called a user experience designer, and so what this means is that I focus on various aspects of the products that I touch, that I actually work on, from the overall user experience. Actually, this is what I like to focus most on, from end to end, you know, looking at like the key scenarios that users are going to, you know, be focused on when they're using the applications or the products that I'm working on. And during this process of focusing on the overall user experience, I make sure that my one of the things that I'm really keen on is making sure that the flow for completing these tasks makes sense. Is it intuitive? Are there gaps or mental leaps that users are going to have to make in using this application? Are there ways that we can overcome these? So it's working with the, you know, the product planners, the program managers, basically everybody on the team, and making sure that this, you know, overall user experience really works for our users. That's one of the primary tasks that I do, as well as, I mean, I could say generally, I also focus on like the user interactions. You know, do they make sense? Are they consistent? Or do they follow previous models that users are, you know, that they're used to using? And then, of course, there's the visual design aspects of the UI that I focus on as well. And with Silverlight, the really cool thing that I love about Silverlight and WPF now, so I just started working on this stuff in June of last year, first time I ever touched it. The great thing about Silverlight and WPF is that it allows me as a designer to really own the UI, to make sure, like, I can actually make sure that it looks the way that it's intended to look, that I've designed it to look. I don't have to. In the past, I would, and if I'm going off topic and you want, you know, feel free to stop me because I could go on forever. But in the past, one of the things that was really frustrating as a product designer or user experience designer is that I actually do have a coding background, but that's not my passion. That's not where I'm, you know, super skilled. That's not an area that I'm very skilled in, nor do I want to be. I mean, I know how to do it because it actually helps me do my job a little bit better. But working in WinForms or, you know, like with C++, like getting into the code and making the UI look the way that I want it really isn't an option. So a lot of times we would design the UI and then create visual specs, interaction specs, and then scenario type walkthroughs in Visio or other types of applications such as PowerPoint. And we'd kind of throw it over the fence to the developers. And a lot of times it would come back not looking exactly as you like. So the great thing about Silverlight and WPF is we can make sure that it looks exactly like we like. And I really am passionate about this, and I hope this is coming across. So like the visual design aspects, and again, Silverlight, WPF, you know, an expression makes this really, really a great, like, design experience or something that I control, and I love it. And then, of course, the usability of the application.
Let's actually talk about your past a little bit, if that's okay. Because one of the things that interests me is that I think these sort of user experience skills are going to be very important in the world to come. But it's not entirely clear to me how you come by them. So if I can ask, what does your past in this regard look like? So you mentioned C++ and WinForms and that sort of stuff?
Yeah, I know that's kind of interesting, isn't it? So I actually started out a friend of mine started an ad agency, and I kind of started working with this individual, and I had no experience in design, but I soon found out that I had a passion for it, and the web was kind of kicking off and becoming the big thing. So I was a self-taught designer, self-taught web designer, and then also self-taught web developer. And then I came to Microsoft shortly thereafter and started working on MSN in, you know, obviously the web space. So I was just like, it really drew me in, the whole web design, web development space. And I was self-taught. And I've, over the time that I've worked at Microsoft, I've moved from MSN to, I worked for a little while on the email application that we have. And then I moved to Visual Studio. I've been on Visual Studio for quite some time. And over that time, I've actually learned from all of the great designers that we have here at Microsoft to, you know, to improve my actual design, user experience design skills. But I also decided over this time to get a computer science degree at the University of Washington. So this has been a very slow process. So I have 3 classes left now. So hopefully I'll be done soon, probably in the next 2 years. So, I mean, I think it varies from individual to individual. I mean, there are, you know, people who go to design school, get degrees in visual design and human-computer interaction. There are people that I work with who have computer science degrees, get master's in human-computer interaction. It just depends.
So fair enough. You know, you have to have the passion, and then you also have to have the ability to learn, whether that's being self-taught or being mentored at some place with great designers, or maybe even in school. Do you have a sense of what has really sort of helped you the most, if that's possible? I guess what I'm trying to get at is, if there are people out there who want to take the step and sort of get involved in this field, what's maybe a good way of going at it?
I'd have to say what I find most valuable is passion. I absolutely 100% love this stuff. And I can, mm-hmm. you know, when I first started doing it, I would sit there literally for night and day. I would sleep like 2 hours just to learn how to do something and then try to get it right. And believe me, in the beginning, I never got anything right. And I'm not saying I do now, but I never gave up. I love this stuff. And I mean, even today, like, you know, learning new aspects of Silverlight and some of the interesting things that I can do, I'll do the same thing. It's passion. It's also, I'd say more than anything for me, it's passion. I think another thing that has worked out really well for me is working with really smart people. I love to, you know, or really passionate people who know who are very solid in design, understand the space, mm-hmm. solid in, I mean, even you can learn from anybody, right? So that's helped out as well, learning from the really great people that we have here, you know, at Microsoft. But more than anything, I definitely say it's just if you like it, you're passionate about mm-hmm. it, you're going to dive in and you're going to be good. I mean, just like a developer, you can be a talented developer and maybe not spend a lot of time on it, but you can become probably excellent, like the more passionate about it you are, the more you dive into it and really, you know, spend all your waking hours working on this stuff. I don't know if you'd agree with that or not, but.
Well, I would. I mean, I think I sort of drift towards the code side. But you know, I think a lot of the things you're saying, that they hold true for me as well. And that is, I sort of, you know, I get a little bit lost in the code side at times. And I think that may mean that I may never be a truly great designer, which is a little disappointing, but, you know, that's the way it works. So passion is important. Let's talk about Silverlight in terms of, do you think it's a good sort of platform for people to start learning design? So what do you think about XAML as being sort of the first stop on somebody's design experience?
Yeah, I would say, so when I learned design, I, of course, there wasn't SAML, there wasn't Blend. I was really focused like in HTML and the web space, mm-hmm. and I found that a really great way for getting in and like learning how to design, you know, website applications or websites. SAML's way better. I mean, like the stuff that you can actually create, draw, you know, design with SAML is, it's just way simpler to create these, you know, like really compelling types of UI. I think it's a great starting point for getting mm-hmm. into like website design, if that makes sense.
No, that totally does. And I wonder also, and I'm sorry to keep beating this to death, because but the issue is, I think the secrets of being a designer are going to be so important, but sort of paradoxically, figuring out how to be a designer is maybe a little bit difficult. It's sort of ephemeral and difficult to get my hands around, at least. I'm wondering if you have any books, say, that you would really recommend. So the Tufte books maybe come to mind, or are there any books you would really recommend for people to get into design?
I actually work with people who just have tons and tons and tons of books that they read, mm-hmm. and I think it really, really does help them. I've read a few. I'm somebody who actually just gets in there and tries. I just get in there and try things.
Just get in there and do it.
I do. I just, you know, what I look at things. I'm like, wow, maybe like, you know, I'll see something. I don't know, like even on television, you know, some sort of interactive UI on television or on MTV or you know, some kiosk somewhere, and I'll be thinking to myself later, wow, I wonder if I can do that in Silverlight. I wonder if I can do that in whatever, and I'll just dig in and I'll, you know, I'll. Try it and see where I can go with it.
But I want to get back to something you just mentioned, and that is your sort of inspiration for design. So you mentioned some places like MTV, maybe, where you find inspiration for design. Where else do you find yourself being inspired?
Everywhere. It's so interesting. I mean, if you like, I have friends who just are interesting and amazing dress, you know, the way that they dress, that inspires me. You know, walking down the street and seeing people like that inspires me. Looking at billboards that with interesting design inspires me. There are just so many magazines, not just design magazines, that have interesting information design. That inspires me. Television, you know, you see kiosks. Mm-hmm. I mean, you even look at your bank teller machine, and it may not be inspiring, but you're like, oh my gosh, I'm not going to do that. You know, that's horrible UI. You know, that inspires you to maybe not do what they did and take a better direction in the work that you do.
So that's really interesting. So bad design can inspire you too.
It can. Isn't that funny? You know, packaging design, like I have a rock star sitting in front of me right now. I like the design on the packaging for the Rockstar energy drinks. and honestly, like one of the things that I really do find inspiring is like I run at home. I have a treadmill at home and I always watch MTV, and it's just interesting to see. Some of the videos have amazing designs. Some of them, it's really inspiring for me. So everywhere, I mean, there's anything can inspire me. And I think that
Great.
Applies to probably everybody, you know, in design. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, I think you might be right about everybody in design. Unfortunately, I don't find myself sort of automatically inspired. I feel like I need a more sort of detailed recipe on how to be inspired and then how to implement it. And I'm afraid that might be asking too much.
Really interesting stuff. I like how she's so passionate about design, and I think those are some great tips for us. Thanks for listening. The music for today's show is used with permission and is from teamyacht.com and magnatune.com. For more information, see the show notes page.